Translation Prabhupada, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In such a transcendental state, there is no need of artificial control of the mind, mental speculation or meditation, as performed by the jnanis, yogis. One gives up such processes as the heavenly king Indra forgoes the trouble to dig a well. Srila Prabhupada's purport. A poor man in want of water digs a well and undertakes the trouble of digging. Similarly, those who are poor in transcendental realization speculate on the mind or meditate by controlling the senses. But they do not know that such control of the senses and achievement of spiritual perfection is simultaneously made possible as soon as one is factually engaged in a transcendental loving service of the Supreme Person. The personality of Godhead, it is for this reason that the great liberated souls also desire to be associated by hearing and chanting the activities of the Lord. The example of Indra is very appropriate in this connection. King Indra of heaven is a controlling deity or demigod for arranging clouds, supplying rains in the universe, and as such he does not have to take the trouble of to dig a well for his personal water supply. For him, digging a well for water supply is simply ludicrous. Similarly, those who are factually engaged in loving service of the Lord have attained the ultimate goal of life, and for them there is no need of mental speculation to find out the true nature of God or His activities. Nor do such devotees have to meditate upon the imaginary or real identity of the Lord, because they are factually engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. The Lord's pure devotees have already achieved the results of mental speculation and meditation. The real perfection of life is therefore to be engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Sarva-stabhya-puyu-sarva-vyakya-sarpala-sarva-siddhanti-nipya-sarva-lokya-ji-pada. O Srimad Bhagavatam, a nectar churned by the ocean of all scriptures, O most prominent transcendental fruit of all Vedas, O you who are enriched with the jewels of all spiritual philosophical conclusions, O you who grant spiritual vision to all the people of the world, O life breath of the Vaishnava devotees, O Lord, you are the sun which has risen to dispel the darkness of Kali Yuga. You are actually Krishna who has returned amongst us. Sarva Bhagavata Srimad Bhagavata Prabho Kali Dvanta Sri Krishna Pravata. O Srimad Bhagavatam, I offer my respectful obeisance unto you. By reading you, one attains transcendental bliss, for your symbols rain pure love of God upon the reader. You are always to be served by everyone, for you are the incarnation of Krishna. Paramananda Patta Prabhasya Akshate Sava 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 Sri Krishnaya Namostute. O Srimad Bhagavatam, I offer my respectful obeisance unto you. By reading you, one attains transcendental bliss, for your symbols rain pure love of God upon the reader. You are always to be served by everyone, for you are the incarnation of Krishna. Mad eka bahuda mad sang mad guru mad mahadana mad nishkara mad bhagya mad ananda ramastute. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O my only friend, O my companion, O my teacher, O great wealth, O my deliverer, O my good fortune, O my bliss, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Astu sattu ditya achita taka he Muchante mam pramnathate spura. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O giver of saintliness to the unsaintly, O uplifter of the very fallen, please do not ever leave me. Please become manifest upon my heart and my throat, becoming by pure love of Krishna. This is by Sanatana Goswami, the prayers to Srimad Bhagavatam. Narayana namaskritaya naram cheva narottamam devim saraswatim vyasam tato jayat mudirayat nastapayasu bhadrayasu nityam bhagavati sevayam bhagavati uttama sloke bhakti bhavati nashtaki. So in India they have different kinds of wells for doing for different purposes. So one well is for washing clothes, one is for bathing, another is for washing utensils. But if one gets an opportunity to go near a river, then he doesn't need the wells, because everything is served within the river, because the water is flowing constantly, so it's always pure. So in the same way, by taking shelter of Krishna, all purposes are fulfilled. It says, Devashi Putana Nina Pitanam, Narkin Karana Rajan, Sarvasana Mukunda, Sarvakatayam. That if one takes shelter of Krishna, he has no obligation to family, society, country, nation. All obligations are fulfilled just by that act of surrender to Krishna. Generally, in the material world, people have obligation because they're taking help from others. Prabhupada gave the example. He said, you're taking so much sun from the heat of the sun, you're taking so much sunshine from the heat, from the sun coming, so you're indebted to the sun. He said, if you don't pay the electricity bill for 1 month, they'll cut it off. In this way, we are indebted to the demigods. They're supplying the heat, the lighting, the rain, vegetation. Someone who's not surrendered to Krishna, he's obliged. He has to pay the debts to all these forefathers, family, demigods. He gets entangled in the material world. One who surrenders to Krishna, he's clear from all debts. Because he says even the demigods, they recognize who Krishna is. In previous times, when the demigods were worshipped, they used to worship Shalagram Shila in the middle to offer everything to the Shalagram Shila, which is not different from Krishna. So, I read something interesting in Gopal Champu. It says, in terms of worshipping Govardhan Hill. Govardhan Hill is not even from Krishna. He used to touch the sun. The sun god used to come on his chariot and take grass from the Govardhan Hill. The horses used to take grasses. He was that high. There's a story behind how he got cursed to become every day sinking one mustard seed every day. And Gopal Champa explains that anyone who worships Indra but doesn't respect Govardhan Hill, doesn't worship Krishna, then he will be cursed to become naked in the next life. His wealth will be taken away. So we can see from this example how in this connection, how this lifting the Govardhan Hill also proved the pastime how devotees of Krishna, Vishnu don't need to worship demigods. Krishna did this pastime to point this out. Because Indra, he sent all the Samantaka cloud, he sent that, which destroys the end of the creation, destroys the universe. He sent it to Vrindavan. But when that cloud was pouring like thunderbolts of rain, it had no effect on Govardhan Hill. Because Krishna and Sudarshan Chakra was on top. So all the rain was being evaporated. The clouds themselves were frightened to go when Indra asked them. But Indra said, I'm coming, you go. And then Indra asked the clouds to report back what's happening. And in the beginning, Indra was thinking that the inhabitants have died now. No one's there. The water's taken over Vrindavan. Floods are coming in. But then the clouds, Indra asked the clouds to go back and check again. And then they found that everyone was on the Govardhan Hill. All the residents were on the Govardhan Hill, the animals, the cowherd boys, the cowherd women, everyone on the Govardhan Hill. So Indra was shocked. He thought, I heard that Krishna has come to the material world to do his pastimes. And I was thinking that I was the controller. Actually, Bhaktivikas Maharaj, he makes a point in one of his classes. He says, Indra's pride was thinking that he should be worshipped. That was his pride. He didn't recognize who Krishna was. He wanted to be the center. But our pride as individuals in this world is that we are thinking we are the body. So, pride is something which one has to get rid of. One should not maintain it, because the only way pride can be used is one has to use it in a way to glorify the line of great acharyas. We should think, I'm proud to be a line of these great teachers who are coming in line of the great self-realized teachers. So in this way, pride can be used. Otherwise, pride causes bondage in the material world. It causes one to be entangled. So when this pastime, it happened that one of Kamsa's followers, they were observing what was happening in this episode of Govardhan Hill, where Indra was sending the thunderbolts, and they were happy that Indra was causing Krishna disturbance. The demons were happy in that. But then they went to Indra and said, we are happy to support you in causing disturbance to Krishna. But Indra was thinking, my purpose as the chief of the demigods is to abide by Krishna's instructions and get rid of the demons. And he told this person who came as a representative of Kamsa that Kamsa is living in fear of Krishna. And in time, I will side with Krishna and get rid of the demons. So he didn't side with the demons. So that's also one of the qualities of the demigods, is that in the higher planets, in the heavenly planets, there's so much opulence more than the earthly planet. It says how even they have fruits like mangoes which fall from the trees and create rivers. and there are a couple of riksha trees, the houses are made with jewels and emeralds, and so much opulence is there. But with the demigods, they don't forget Krishna. They're loyal to Krishna. Whereas in the earthly planet, people forget Krishna very quickly. They want to be the enjoyers. They want to be independently from Krishna. Also, because of the so much opulence in the heavenly planets, people easily forget Krishna also. Because unless one is advanced, opulence can easily deviate one from spiritual life. Example of that is how Narakasura, he stole the earrings of Indra. At the same time, he stole his ability to hear also. And he stole half a portion of Mandara Mountain, which is the place where demigods enjoy. So when Indra came to Krishna and told him what had happened, Krishna went and he had a fight with Narakasura and killed him. And then Krishna's wife Satyabhama, because Krishna gave a parijata flower from this peace-fulfilling tree to Rukmini, Satyabhama also wanted flower, but Krishna said, why take a flower, take a tree. So when Krishna went back to give the earrings back to Indra, so Krishna wanted to take the parijata tree, and Indra would not allow it. Too much pride. He was thinking, these trees belong in the heavenly planets, they cannot be taken to the earthly planet. So, Krishna, playing the part of a henpecked husband, he fought with the demigods. Interesting enough, how Krishna fought with the demigods, he fought with Satyabhama on his lap. Now, you would never see that. In this world, you will never see anyone fighting with a woman on his lap. But Krishna did that. Being the Supreme Lord, he can do anything. He defeated all the demigods. And then he took this parijata tree to Dwarka. So that shows how Krishna is very... He likes to have reciprocation with his devotees. Now, So the same thing applies to devotees. If they surrender to Krishna, they have nothing to worry about the future. Because past, present and future apply living in the material world. Krishna lives in the present, he doesn't live in the past or the future. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes a statement, don't think about the past nor the future that comes, live within time, within and progress that shall come. So, if we learn to live by Krishna's instructions, past and future doesn't apply to us. Because we are living on the spiritual platform. Now, if you live on a spiritual platform, you're not identifying with the body. Because Krishna's main instruction in Bhagavad Gita is, you're not the body, you're spirit soul. So that's the beginning of spiritual life. So if we can accept this point about we are not the body, we're spirit soul, then we don't live in the past or the future, we live in the present. And we live how Krishna is teaching us in the scriptures how to live, then the material world doesn't affect us. So, Srila Prabhupada, someone sent him a letter, I think they read it in the morning or some time back, where this devotee was telling Prabhupada that there could be a hurricane or earthquake in the place you're going to preach in. So it's not a safe place to go. So Prabhupada wrote back telling that devotee that we don't worry about these things. If difficulties come, we are going to leave our bodies. We just think of Krishna and leave our bodies. So, how to get to that stage where one has that dependence on Krishna? Because so even in the material world, to learn anything you have to hear first. People pay so much fees to go to university and college to hear a subject. So same thing in spiritual life. To go deep into the spiritual practice, you have to hear and chanting. Hearing is important. So he says even the great sages and they cannot fully understand Krishna. Krishna can only be understood by hearing about him directly or hearing about him through the devotees. So there was a pastime which happened in Ranganath. Ranganath is a main deity in South India. He's a huge deity, self-manifest deity of Vishnu. So devotees were hearing and chanting about Krishna. So in India they have this procession where they bring the deity out, the small deity, and they take it on procession. And they ring the instruments very loudly. So this group of devotees were hearing and chanting about Krishna in some place, and this procession was coming. So these devotees were hearing and chanting about Krishna, they got very disturbed. They said, what is this loud noise, you know? It's like... So then they saw Ranganath come with the pujaris, they brought the deity. So when they took the deity back, Ranganath told the pujaris, no more procession for 1 year. And Ranganath came in a guise of a brahmana and shook the hand of the devotee saying, thank you very much for hearing and chanting about Krishna. But Ranganath told those pujaris that you should invite these devotees to hear and chant about Krishna for 1 year. So that shows how Krishna is very indebted to those who hear and chant about him. There was another pastime in Vrindavan, this in Navaraja Mahimed, how in some place in Vrindavan they were hearing and chanting about Krishna, and there was one blind lady, she was doing the grinding. And but when she was grinding, she was making so much noise that the devotees felt disturbed, so they stopped going there. So Krishna personally came to that lady and chastised her. He said, why are you doing this grinding, you know? You're making so much disturbing my devotees. So she said, I have to make a living, what can I do? So Krishna put his footprint there. And he said, Krishna told her, when people see my footprint, they'll give you donations. You don't need to do this grinding anymore. So, so that shows how this this hearing and chanting is the highest spiritual practice in Krishna consciousness. And he says, if discussion amongst devotees happens, then that strengthens the intelligence to go deeper into the spiritual practices. So, Sri Krishna, Chaitanya Doya Vichar, Vichar Kari Chitra Chamatkar, that these discussions on the topics of Krishna consciousness will help one go deeper into the spiritual practices because it will strengthen your intelligence. Let's see if I can get it. Okay. Okay, this is quotes by Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur explaining the importance of hearing and chanting. So this is a book they're selling next to Amritavani, all his quotes. So is it possible to find benefit if we don't chant Hari's holy names? How is it possible to benefit without chanting? Chanting Hari's name is a Yuga Dharma, the prescribed process for this age. How can people of this age attain auspiciousness without following the prescribed method for the particular age? How can we attain auspiciousness by following paths other than chanting? After all, the chanting was introduced by the auspicious Lord Himself. To think there is an alternative to the process of chanting Harinam is mental speculation. In this material world, people spend their time imagining alternatives to Harinam. Avoiding Harinam is what this world is about. Those who think that hearing and chanting are not the only necessary process for spiritual fulfillment try to measure the transcendental Lord against themselves and then transgress His orders. Such people are non-devotee servants of Maya. It is not good to contradict the Lord. For by so doing, our ruination is inevitable. The Shastra state, Harinama, Harinama eva kevalam, kalo nasti eva nasti eva gati anyata. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is chanting the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. So we can see from this how this is why Srila Prabhupada, we can see from how he followed the instructions of Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur in terms of helping his devotees, his followers become strong in their spiritual life. Prabhupada emphasized that his devotees should read his books 1 or 2 hours every day. Prabhupada said if devotees do that, then renunciation will come into them. So Prabhupada himself was reading his own books and some devotees asked him, why are you reading your own books? And Prabhupada said, I didn't write these books, Krishna wrote the books. There's another quote by Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. He explains, if someone just glorifies the Lord in terms of the hearing and chanting, but he doesn't chant the holy name, then it's just false pride. And he mentions how even the glorification of the pastimes of the Lord, they manifest from the holy name. So first comes name, then pastimes, activities, paraphernalia. So because there is a sequence through the chanting, then at some point meditation comes in, then perfection comes in. So the hearing and chanting is there to help us become fixed in our meditation on the Lord. And then as we get to pure chanting, then everything becomes revealed. So and also Prabhupada explains how knowledge is compared to fire. In the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says how knowledge is compared to fire, it burns up all impurities. So this hearing and chanting helps us to become to that pure platform where all the previous karmic reactions get burnt up. So Narada Muni said stories of different Puranas by Purna Pragya Prabhu. He mentioned an interesting point. Okay. Narada Muni said, from the very day Lord Krishna's return to his own abode, Kali has been able to exert his influence. In Kali Yuga, a man gets more, he gets mere religious merits by narrating the Lord's transcendental pastimes than by meditating, penance, or any other practice. So there was an interesting story with Bhaktisiddhanta and Thakur. There was one person, he had insomnia, he couldn't sleep. So he went to many doctors and they couldn't cure him. So they said, go to this saint, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur told his disciples, don't disturb him when he falls asleep. So he was hearing the Bhagavatam lecture and he fell asleep. And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur commented, the medicine is working. So if someone finds it difficult to sleep, just read Srimad Bhagavatam. And then you fall asleep naturally. And the other thing is, when we read Prabhupada's book, we shouldn't read them like storybooks. We should try and enter the pastime by meditating on the teachings. And then if we do that, then things get revealed to us. So it requires some practice to do that. It doesn't come so quickly sometimes. It requires So there's a quote by Srila Sivaram Swami. He gives a nice quote on four steps for self-discipline. We all know nothing comes easy in life. Warren Buffett said, we don't have to be smarter than the rest. We have to be more disciplined than the rest. And with so many distractions like internet, social media, smartphones, fashion and so on, discipline is usually the last thing on our minds. But self-discipline is the foundation upon which skills, profession and life course are built. Think of where you would be now if you didn't go through the discipline of driving lessons and learning the rules of the road. probably 6 feet under. Similarly, self-discipline is necessary in all other aspects of life, whether it's education, health, marriage, business, or raising children. The result of all activities depends on how committed we are to practicing the disciplines that come with the activity. In other words, in any endeavor, the rule of the thumb is that as much as you put into it, that much you will get out of it. You can't withdraw money from a bank account you haven't put money into. But we often face obstacles to discipline, like a lack of motivation or just plain procrastination. So how are four tips to help us on? So here are four tips to help us on your path. Tips you can add to your life right now. Wake up early. Benjamin Franklin said, "Early to bed, early to rise makes a person healthy, wealthy, and wise." As practicing monk for 50 years, it is my practice to rise before 4 a.m. Rising early may require adjustments and rescue during. But the benefit for the benefits of being more focused and more ready to go are extraordinary. Number two, spiritual dimension to the day. This is a must to reinforce your foundation. Every day of those 50 years as a monk, I've been practicing mantra meditation, chanting a sacred sound vibration for 2 hours every morning. Morning brings to me space free of anxiety and stress, and connects me with a deeper dimension, my innermost self. Start with just 2 minutes a day, but just start. Number three, stick to your path, and lack of discipline can be due to not knowing where you going, not knowing your nature, and not knowing your purpose. Don't get swayed by details, distracted by fads, or deterred by peer pressure. Instead, do things that are in line with who you are, and keep life simple. Stick to what is fulfilling to you, and use that as your anchor. Number four, self-control. You need to remove the temptations in life. For example, if you're trying to cut out alcohol, you stay away from bars, right? Similarly, if you want to be a better person, then prioritize whatever it takes to get there. That means to detach from things that get in the way. Those things may be bad habits or unfavorable social circle or challenging environment. Identify those barriers and eliminate them. And that's it. Or at least it's the beginning. Implement these four tips and see how regulation can transform your life. As you start to experience the results, then you can build on it further. And sure, it may be hard to change or establish new processes in life, but here's the thing, avoiding pain or suffering is a myth. It's a pie in the sky. So we either suffer the pain or discipline, or we suffer the pain or regret. The choice is yours. Any comments or questions? Microphone.
Haribol, thank you so much. My question is that today. We're quite fortunate that we are at the feet of the Lord, you know, and we have all these wonderful scriptures that tell us exactly what is the right thing that will make you happy. But there are so many philosophies and access of information out there. Majority of them, for most people, that are kind of directionless, or, you know, we are taught in school modern philosophy from Aristotle to, you know, ancient ones to, say, Nietzsche, who famously said, you know, God is dead. So I personally had also found, before I had come to Krishna, not that I wasn't looking, but it was very hard. I was even looking for, you know, ancient scriptures, but I was like, well, in this whole world, where do I find something that would be of value, actually? So with this said, you know, all of the people who are out there right now without access to this information, well, is it because they are not interested? Or is it they're not ready? Or is it just unlucky that they couldn't find it?
Well, the situation which is happening now, this is this is a special time. Lord Chaitanya comes in 4.23 billion years, like 1,000 cycles of the Kali Yuga, or the four Yugas. So the Satyuga is 1,228,000 years. The Tretayuga is 1,296,000 years. The Dwapara Yuga is 864,000 years. And the Kali Yuga is 432,000 years. So 1,000 times these cycles of these four Yugas comes to 4.23 billion years. So within that one time, Lord Krishna appears in this pastime, in this earth planet, to do his pastimes. So when Lord Krishna appears, Lord Chaitanya appears. So when Lord Chaitanya appears, a golden age starts for 10,000 years. So within that golden age, people get a chance to get special mercy and go back to Godhead very quickly. Srila Prabhupada, he's known as the chief commander in Lord Chaitanya's army. So, Lord Chaitanya, Srila Prabhupada spread the holy name around the world, and he's wrote many books, opened 100 temples. Temples are became more, I think, over 600 temples now. Within this time, there'll be a situation happening where many people will take to Krishna consciousness. Also, there'll come a time when there'll be a Krishna consciousness leader coming in the world. He will be ruling the world at some point. But material world is such that demons are always there. You can't avoid demons. So, modern day system of education, Prabhupada is very demoniac. And Prabhupada said is like the example that modern day leaders, they ignore spiritual education, they kill the cow, don't respect brahmanas and don't respect devotees. And they consider dog their best friend. So Prabhupada says it's condemned society. So and the purpose of the material world is to allow people to go back to Godhead. So when there's unwanted progeny, then there's wars, pestilence and famine to get rid of the unwanted progeny. So Srila Bhakti Churumaya said a time will come when demons will kill demons. But for the devotees, it's a good time now. That if you take to this Krishna consciousness, you can go back to Godhead very quickly. So the other unfortunate thing is many people want to be cheated. So cheaters and the cheated. So those who want to be cheated, Krishna sends cheaters to cheat them. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in one of his courses, he explains, if you're 100% sincere, then Krishna himself will come and guide you. But if you cultivate a certain mentality which is below that, according to what you cultivate, you get a person guiding you according to that mentality. Because in human form you got high intelligence, you got this discriminating power. Animals go by instinct. So if you're sincere, he said, God helps those who help themselves. So the acharyas, their teachings are always perfect. So if we follow their teachings, then Krishna will help us in a way that we'll come close to him very quickly. Prabhupada said, don't be surprised who leaves, be surprised who stays. Because Prabhupada said the material world is not fit place for a gentleman. Prabhupada said in his calendar, he says, this world is a world of enemies. Even in your family, the enemies who are against you. Even in your workplace, bosses, friends, not everyone agreeing with you. It's a world of enemies. So it's not a fit place for a gentleman. So, a time will come when Lord Chaitanya's mercy will go out to everyone much easier. But this particular time, there's a lot of purification happening. So now is the time to take shelter of devotees more and just follow Prabhupada's teachings very seriously. And then we go back to Godhead very quickly. It's a time when either you choose Krishna or Maya. It's like if you're on the wall, if a cat is on the wall, he has to go on one side. He cannot stay on the wall permanently. So spiritual life is also like that. Either you go up or down. You cannot in between. Not possible. Is that okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? Antara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai.